we pray for Elder Doonan. I'm so happy to be here with you again this morning. Appreciate that wonderful spirit song service. Hope that you'll continue in your mind and meditation, utter a little prayer in behalf of all of us. That the Lord bless us in a special way as we try to stand before you. Never feel up to task to speak in the name of Jesus. So I certainly appreciate the covenant prayers. As I was about to go to the Old Testament, several things been on my mind this morning. A lot of times that's worse than having absolutely nothing on my mind. And I've got a lot of things on my mind this morning, and I hope the Lord bless us to be able to call what is not germane to this morning. So I hope that you will pray for me. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4 in the Old Testament. Such a wonderful book of prophecy. And, we will certainly believe what has been spoken of in the book of Romans, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we be patient and comfort the Scriptures might have hope. I have spoken to people in the past who said they did not believe in studying out of the Old Testament, but that time is past and gone, that Christ has put that away, and that it does not have any usefulness for us in the church. Well, I woe be unto them, because they are lacking something great, something wonderful, and that is a large portion of God's inspired word that He has, through the shed blood of thousands upon millions, preserved for us, even here unto this day. And we need to be thankful for it. Jesus Christ Himself said in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. And anything that testifies of Jesus is all right with me. Amen? They testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in His work of redemption and the things that He suffered and experienced for us, but also in the church. Very valuable pictures and instructions in the Old Testament that are necessary for us to contemplate and meditate upon today here in the New Testament church. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I firmly believe that you should not try to put a new patch upon an old garment. That's not what we're here for today. We're here to worship according to the New Testament revelation, the way we've been instructed to worship, according to the instructions and the examples left of us. But we certainly can glean so many wonderful, useful things out of the Old Testament. And Zechariah chapter 4 is one of these very useful passages of Scripture. And I ask that you will read it through with me. It's not a very long chapter. And so just be patient with me as I read before you today. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked and behold a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. Now here Zechariah is receiving a vision of the Lord and passing it on to us that he has seen a candlestick. And this candlestick, brothers and sisters, is likened unto the candlestick that was found in the very temple of the service of the Lord. Now that candlestick was filled with oil on the base of the top. And the priest that served in the temple continually served in such a way as to make sure that oil did not run dry. That lamp was continually burning. That was part of their daily activities and chores, as it were, and it had to take place. So it never ran out of oil. And here we see in verse 3, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, as we in the church today carry on day by day, year by year, ever awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a time of patience. It's a time of learning. And all that we've come to realize in our salvation and in our revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is by grace. And here he just tells us very plainly that in the vision that is given here, when it all boils down to it, ultimately the overall message is this, not by might, nor by power. Now, so many people throughout history, in the history of the Christian religion, have begun to think that they could do things by might and by power. there have been very many people like Russia in days of old and China in this present day that think that by their might and by their power, they have the ability to hinder the Lord's church. They have the ability to hinder the Lord's salvation. Let me be more specific. The Lord's salvation. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Our people, our God has the people of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. And I'm so thankful to know that as I've gone over to China to bring home our daughter Ada, when we were over there, you could not speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was strictly forbidden. And there was one man that went with us, and he went over into the corner to witness unto a man who was there, one of the valets there on the floor of the hotel we were staying at. And as I walked around the corner, the first time, when I walked past the first time, I saw him there doing it, and he was fervently trying to teach this man of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And I can respect that. I tell you, we ought to be willing to share what we know about the glories and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I walked past the first time that hall, I was not noticed. But I made a little noise when I came back the next time, and you could tell that man, that Chinese man, jumped up like a jackrabbit, because he was afraid that someone was going to see him speaking to a man with an open Bible in front of him. Don't be surprised, my friends. Do realize this one thing. This is a hated religion in this world. It has never been the world's friend, and it never will be the world's friend. There is a world that will not receive it, and they do not want it. In China, you can rub the belly of every statue that comes around, but don't dare speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, will embolden and empower people to go above and beyond and do things that they were not able to do before and endure things that they were not able to endure before. Those poor folks over there are so wrapped with despair that everything they believe is that love is out to get them. They've got to have so many dragons on the eaves of their house. They've got to have a certain number of bolts within their door to protect them from the evil forces that surround them and are bent on destroying them. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, when you can put your faith and your confidence in believing that the Lord Jesus Christ, who has suffered and bled and died for poor, unworthy, worthless sinners like us, when you can go day by day knowing that I don't care if they disembowel me or feed me to the bears or the lions, I don't care what they do to me today. Brothers and sisters, I know that there's a greater day coming, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's safe and secure in His blood, and can never be torn down or taken away. I'll tell you, when you can walk through life with that, you can walk through life with your feet this high off of the ground, willing to love people a little more and serve people a little better. But you know what, brothers and sisters? That scares a civil government to death. It scares them to death. Because in that humility in the Lord Jesus Christ, though the irony of the world would say, in their humility, they're easy to be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, that's the ironic thing. The Lord gives us power in ways that we can't even begin to understand when we serve Him and when we walk in the ways that He'd have us to go. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, I would to God and pray that He would open a door of utterance over there. That some old Baptist preachers might be led of the Spirit to go over there one day and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them, and the grace of His love, and His enduring love, and His saving love. Oh, I tell you, those people behind that bamboo curtain need that. And brothers and sisters, and no matter how many walls are built, you can't keep out the Lord's salvation. Amen? We've got to bring to you last night, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but know not from which it cometh, neither whither it goeth. I'll tell you, I hope and pray I get the opportunity to preach in very many places. I like to hear a thing, the gospel being preached in different parts of the world right now, and it excites me. But I'll tell you what, I got my wagon loaded in Vidalia right now, but if I ever do get the opportunity to go to the Philippines, or to go to Kenya or Tanzania or someplace like that, my friend, I hope and pray the Lord will bless us to be able to commune His faith to the Lord Jesus Christ in the sweetness of His grace, that it is not by might and not by power, but it's by the Spirit of Almighty God. When we can sit together and feel that way, my friend, then it's a time well spent. But there many people think by their power and their might, they can cut it off. Those Pharisees thought they could, but they learned better, didn't they? And brothers and sisters, very many people in the church, unfortunately, have begun to think that by our invention and our design, by us dressing things up and making things more palatable to the world, we can just fill them in and we can get them saved. I'll tell you, I've got the message for them, just like I've got the message for you, just like the Lord gave unto Zechariah that day to give unto the nation of Israel. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. It's by His power. He goes on to say, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a flame, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof which doubteth Christ, grace, grace unto it. Now, this is what I was going to preach on, but I want to go over there. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. I was just thinking about that as we began to think about that verse of Scripture in our text over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. He goes on there in the beginning and says, and you have quickened who were dead and trespasses and sins. And that term quickened means we made alive from the dead. We talked about the new birth last night. It goes on to say, we were all according to that same lump of clay. We were all born in that same condemnation. We all guilty of these same transgressions and sins and iniquities and filthiness in our flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ loves the whole world. Well, the Apostle Paul, the inspiration of God, is telling me right here that it's the love of God that causes that quickening. Amen? Isn't that what it says? It says, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The world can say what they will. We're not a hateful religion, but I can tell you what, my friends, we want to be a true religion, don't we? We want to preach what the Lord teaches, and we want to read and believe in the Bible what he has told us. My friends, it's one of the most manifest things in this Bible, no matter what man will say, is that our God does not love every human creature. Now, the world finds that noxious. They don't want to have that because it doesn't play well on Dr. Phil and Oprah. But I'm going to tell you, my friends, from the pulpit of the Lord's church, it's exactly what needs to be preached. Because I'm going to tell you, my friends, if I thought he loved the God-haters as much as he loves me, then that would shake a little bit of my confidence in that God. The brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, I've got all the confidence in the world in him that he loves me, and he's loved me enough to never not love me. My friends, he's got a place reserved for me, and he's going to take me there one day. Okay? But there are people in this world that hate that God. Okay? It's because they've not been quickened. But he said, for all those that he loves, sometime during their lives, he's going to quicken them. Now, if you could tell me that every human creature is going to be quickened or born again in the Spirit of God, then you can tell me that what people are saying in their conventional wisdom is correct. But the problem is, how many of you walking through this life can truly say by your witness and your walk and your talk, whether it be co-workers or even some of our kinfolk, that everybody in this world loves God and fears God and wants to serve God and is born again, being born again of his Spirit? You and I all know that's just not the case. Just not the case, brothers and sisters. You know, I had an uncle that used to believe. And like I said, we look through a glass darkly. I don't know everything. I can't see what the way the Lord sees. I have to just say, Lord, thy will be done. You know, I thank God to see fruit of the Spirit in people. But people I don't see so much fruit in, I don't have the right point fingers to them and say, you're going to hell. Okay? I can't look into their heart and their mind, so I just leave it be. Okay? I do know this. Someone who is born again in the Spirit of God, they love God. Amen? They love God. Alright, they may not always serve him just as they all do, but they love him. There are a lot of people out there, my friends, who literally hate him. And those are the people that have not had the quickening spirit. And we're told in his word, unequivocally, that all of those whom he loved, for that great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, yet had he quickened us together with Christ Jesus our Lord. At some time in the life of that beloved one, they will be born again of the Spirit of God. And then he goes on to say a parenthetical statement. That means he really wants to hammer home the point. He says, by grace ye are saved. By grace you're saved. Grace means unmerited favor. And I thank God that by his grace we are saved. And then verse 6 he says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show something. Okay? That he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now remember, he's already told us about the quickening, about the love, about the power, and that eternal life is going to be bestowed is by grace, right? But now he goes on to talk about something that's shown, and he says, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. How do you experience saving while you live here on this sinning planet? Okay? Alright, eternal salvation is by grace. I'll tell you what, it's most salvation, and it's by grace also, amen? Because at some time, when you were born again in the Spirit of God, God also gave you the capacity and the ability in faith. Okay? In faith, he gave you the ability in faith be able to hear and understand and rejoice in the things of the gospel and the things that have been revealed unto us that preachers have been preaching in my ears for all of my life. And though for so long I despised it and didn't want anything to do with it, yet there came a day when it sounded sweet, didn't it? I know that was your case, Brother Will. Brother Andrew, I know that was your case. It's my case, too. That there came a day when the gospel sounded sweet. Why? What had happened? Because I've been saved eternally by the Spirit of Almighty God. And brothers and sisters, I was also saved by faith. That means by the faith He had given me, I had the ability and capacity to believe and understand and to feel that He did that for me. He represented me hanging upon that cross, suffering in ways that I can't begin to understand. He did that for low-down, no-good, sorry, me. And when you can understand that, my friend, there is salvation in that power. Okay? Friends of Baptist preachers will spend a lot of time teaching you things that we can't do. Friends, I want to teach you things we can do by the power of God. And that is to preach the gospel in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. And when one whose heart has been changed by the Spirit of God, my friend, in whatever to whatever extent it may be, oh, it'll click. It'll hit a chord. It will cause a change. Some people, maybe it's just wondering about it at night during the dark hours. And some people will get right up out of their stool, out of the pew, and rush forward to confess their Savior. But I'll tell you this, brothers and sisters, I believe because of faith the Lord has given us in the new earth, it will move. It will change us in some way. Some to greater extent than others. And this is what Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before the Zerubbabel thou shalt become a flame. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. For by grace you're quickened. For by grace you're saved through faith. And brothers and sisters, it's by grace that we live and move and have our being in the Lord Jesus Christ. They needed to know this in this day. They needed to know this. They had been released of Cyrus. Some 50,000 or more Jews went back home, and they were blessed to lay the foundation of the temple. But then, you're going to read over the book of, I believe, it's Ezra chapter 4, when there were some men who went unto the king, sowing seeds of discord. And so then their work was stopped. But then the work had been resumed by Darius. And now these people were back here in this time needing to build upon the foundation, to build the Lord's house, to build the temple to the honor and glory of the God Jehovah that had delivered them from bondage after bondage after bondage. And he's letting them know it's all by grace. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. How else could it be explained that in some manner of, I think it was 56 days, in the days of Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem were built back up after having been crumbled down to such a sorry state that even those naysayers said a fox would make that wall crumble down. But yet in some 50-some-odd days of the power of God, these people who were defeated and their hands were hanging low and their knees had become weak said, we can't do it. I can tell you the Lord still a man named Nehemiah who told him, we can do it because the same God of the olden times is just the same today. And I'm here to tell you, Macedonian Church, and sisters and friends of Macedonian Church, He's still the same today. We spend our days doubting God. I know He saved me by grace. Oh, but He just can't help me with this job situation. I just won't be able to find a better job than this. If I'm having to work on Sundays, I just can't find a better job than this. I can't. How many of you should doubt God like this? Why should we doubt God in such a way? Now, it's no big deal for him to part the Red Sea, but yet we don't think he can find us a job equitable to the one we have. And let me tell you something. If you do leave your job, makes you work on Sundays, and takes you away from the Lord's service, brothers and sisters, that sacrifice is still worth it. And I can tell you, my God is like the psalmist was made to say, he has not seen his seed forsaken nor begging bread. He's going to take care of it. And we've got to be in that frame of mind, to have the mind of Christ, to trust in Him. He goes on here to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel being the governor of that day. Joshua was the high priest. He said, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a flame, and he shall bring forth a headstone. Thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace, and goodness. This work is going to be complete. And it'll be by His power, His might, and His Spirit. It'll be by grace. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Who hath despised the day of small things? You know, it's so sad to read about the days when the temple was rebuilt, that there were some there who all they could do was rejoice. They were so excited. Oh, they just cried out shouts of happiness and joy because the Lord's temple was being rebuilt. But you know, there were some there that were a little further age, and they were weeping, not with joy, but with sorrow. Not because of what was taking place, but because of what was in the past. And it was said that you could not tell the cries of the joy from the cries of the sorrow. Brothers and sisters, we've still got a lot to rejoice about, amen? We have still got a lot to rejoice about. In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher who ever lived, how many active disciples were in his service to be counted and enumerated in God's Word in the days of Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher who ever lived? 120, we're told. Oh, brothers and sisters, look at this one congregation. Look at these young people. Look at what we have to look forward to. Yes, my friend, I know there were times in the past when the windows had to be flung open and people sat around in the churchyard just hungering to hear the preaching and the singing. I know that. But brothers and sisters, the same God who parted the Red Sea is the same God who's able to give you what you need. And please don't doubt, my friends, he's the same God who tells us who should despise the day of small things. Okay? Yes, we're the little boys on the block. We're never going to be the mega churches. Okay? Never going to be the mega churches with the savings and loans and the Starbucks in the lobby. We're not going to have the gymnasiums and the swimming pools and the Disney trips and the Mama's Day Out and all that stuff. Oh, brothers and sisters, we just aren't going to have that. You mamas take the day off every now and again, but you daddy's going to suck it up and get it to them. It ought not be the church. We're not going to be that. But brothers and sisters, there were 10 left to heal. How many turned back? Okay, we're told broad is the way of destruction, and many go in thereat, but it says it's just going to be a few that find the way unto life. I believe we're blessed to be among that few, amen? Few! Oh, brothers and sisters, it has pleased the Lord to give unto thee, little flock, the kingdom. And my loved one, I have a loved one, and she's my sister, I'll go ahead and tell you. She's been getting a lot of pressure about leaving the old Baptist church because it wasn't uptown enough. I'll just go on and tell you how the Catholics can. That's exactly what it all boiled down to. They just weren't uptown enough. And she told me if it really was a church, then it would just be growing by leaps and bounds. I said, I want you to show me that scripture. I want you to show me that scripture. I'd love to find it. I ain't found it yet. I've not found it yet. Now, I know God has people that every day people come. And I know there's power to preach the gospel. And I know He blesses and raises up men to preach the gospel. But I also know He responds to what we pray for. Amen? He fulfills our needs. So many of our churches don't have pastors to fill their needs. So they just stop meeting. Or maybe they're meeting one or two Sundays a month and they won't meet the other. Brothers and sisters, why is the Lord going to fill our needs when we don't need a man? But we ought to be there representing at the meeting house in case somebody comes by to call that day. How many people have we invited during the week if we're satisfied not to be at the meeting house on Sunday? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings today. I'm trying to preach to you what I believe is necessary. And they say, man, friends, who should despise today of small things? Yes, we may be small. Yes, it may be in church with just three or four people in it, but I tell you what, when Sunday rolls around, they ought to be there waiting for the visitors that they've been inviting ever since they've been in that community. You know, I'm just not waiting for the visitors I invited last week. I'm still waiting for visitors I've been inviting for 2 years. I've invited hundreds of them. I've gotten one visitor. But you know what? I'm glad to have that one, and I believe more are going to come one day. We need to live in anticipation of that. Stop doubting God. But believe that He can make our churches grow. First pastor of the church that I try to pastor, Dale Lee Hayes, A man who was instrumental in the constitution of some 60 churches. 60 churches. Now, you reckon old Brother Lee kept going from place to place and saying, no, it's too small. Can't happen here. Can't happen here. Brothers and sisters, when my day your church was constituted, there were only, I think, 12 people. Now we've got 40 members. Now, people in the world may say, well, that's just paltry. Look how long y'all been in existence. You've only got 40 members. I'll say we're fairly blessed. Amen? We're fairly blessed. Because brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, that's 40 people that ain't carrying you to the bar room on Saturday night. That's 40 people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 40 people that's going to be there morning and night. That's 40 people that are going to support the church and love one another and watch one another's feet. And when you've got 40 folks like that in the community, it's like a bright and shining light. It's like that candlestick. What do you think a candlestick represents? Brothers and sisters, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, has shone forth in the church, in the kingdom. Oh, it's the Spirit of God. It's God who walks amongst the seven candlesticks of those churches in Revelation, my friend. Oh, in Matthew chapter 5, he commanded us, a man should light a candle and put it under a bushel basket, but set it up on the candlestick so it'll give light to the whole house. We as old Baptists have gotten so weak and money grubbing from time to time that they say, we can't do it. We're too small. We're too weak. The world's too wicked. The world's always been wicked. The devil's always been active. And we are still the church, amen? We're still the church. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then stop down his power and rely on him. Rely on him. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, it was said that Abraham was justified by works when he just stepped out on faith in the Lord. When all of his little ulterior motives and plans had run out, and he came to the point in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, of realizing that if he's going to bring me forth a seed to fulfill these promises, it's got to be by his might, his power. Abraham was too old, Sarah was too old by the world's standards, but the Lord brought forth life from the dead. Amen? He brought forth life from the dead, and he's still able, brothers and sisters, to breathe new life in dead bones, even in this day and age. Of tell me what the definition of is, and days of a world enamored with Britney Spears and things of that nature. Whenever you turn on the television, there's a new lesbian or homosexual on the television being touted as the new norm. Yes, we live in a wicked age, but brothers and sisters, he's still on his throne. He's still the eyes that run to and forth upon the earth. Still knows, and he still knows the things that you walk through. We have not a high priest which could not be set up with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I can't begin to explain that to you like I'd like to explain it, but I'll tell you what, my friends, I believe it today, just like I've been made to believe it in the past. As long as I stay in that belief, there are great things in store in my life, in my family, in our churches, and in our experience. We don't need to doubt. But we need to step forward, like Zerubbabel and Joshua challenged the people to do, like Nehemiah and Ezra challenged the people to do. We are the same way. We need to do the same thing. He said here, then answered I, and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Who are the two anointed ones? I personally believe it was Joshua and Zerubbabel. Two men that were willing to stand in the face of adversity that we came against them asking, and to encourage and the strength and the help. Notice the picture of candlestick. Candlestick has the bowl on top, and in that picture we're to understand it's never going to run out of oil. Amen? The Lord will never leave this earth without a witness of himself until he comes back. Do y'all believe that? Yeah. I believe that. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you know what I hear, what I see in my mind's eye? When I hear the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? I don't see the gates of hell attacking guns. You know, who attacks gates? The people on the outside. Are you in hell or out of hell? Friends, we're children of the king. We're out of hell. But we ought to be on the attack all the time. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. The Lord's kingdom's going to be here, shining bright somewhere. You know what? It may be gone from Georgia in a few years because of our sorrows. We don't know. But you know what I believe it'll be in Philippines? I believe it'll be in Kenya. It might even be in China. Who knows? But it's going to be somewhere. And the same God of the old times will be the same God for them. The same God for them. They may have flat eyes and small frames. They won't be these four up bald men like me. Who knows? But it's still the same God. And they're still beloved children. Okay? Now let me tell you. That oil is not going to run out. That's the picture. But also added to that candlestick were those pots. And those pots were running from a fruitful tree. One on each side. Trees bearing fruit. And I'll tell you, there's more preaching than that I can do. But you just agree with me, I hope you will, that that represents fruit-bearing children of God. Amen? He's working their lives, and they're bringing forth fruit. A dead tree. And I love, some people may think, Elder Ricky Harco invited an elderly Methodist lady that he loved very much from the community. He was coming down to Mississippi to preach. And he told her, he said, Miss So-and-so, you might as well go on, load up with me. He meant it too. Load up with me. Go with me to Mississippi. I'm going to preach. And she said, Ricky, she was elderly. She was in her 80s. She said, Ricky, I have no desire to go here anymore in your hard shell rhetoric. But you know what? I love hard shell rhetoric. I love when preachers tell me that fruit can't grow on a dead tree. Y'all like that? I'll have that every day. Amen. Because it's just the truth. It's just the truth. Fruit's not going to grow on a dead tree. And these are fruitful trees. And there are pipettes, as it were, running from them. And golden oil is running into that candlestick. The candlestick will never run out of oil. But what about those trees? What about those two that stand by the God of the whole earth? Pouring their oil into that candlestick. I want you to look at what that oil is just for a minute. I'll say this in closing. I got to hurry along here. What is that oil representative of? Give me just a minute to try to build on this. I love the pictures and types and shadows of the Bible. I want you to look with me in the book of Exodus. I believe it's Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. I'll read very quickly this from anointing one. Here the Lord is giving instruction unto Moses regarding the service of his tabernacle. Verse 22, moreover the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh. And it goes on to tell him exactly what he wants in. Wonderful things, cinnamon and the calamus. And he said, of cassia, verse 25, and he goes on to say, and of olive oil and skin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment. An ointment compound after the art of the apothecary, it shall be an holy, anointing ointment. Thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and he goes on to give instruction, specific instruction, that every piece of furniture within that tabernacle, everything therein, and going on to say, even the high priest, and even the priests that serve under him, all had to be anointed with this holy anointing oil before they were worthy to be used in service in the tabernacle. He said, upon verse 32, upon man's flesh shall not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like. He says, not for you to use as you would. Who cares if you've got cracked, unsupple skin? You don't rub it on your skin. It's not right for you to rub it on your skin. Okay? It's not for you to do as you would do with it. He said, this is under my command. Upon man's flesh shall not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it. That's the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Psalms, 133. In the 133rd Psalm, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's the truth. Amen. Oh, my friends, we need to dwell together in unity. I know there comes a time we have to say enough to enough as enough to some things, but I would to God that old Baptists would stop and get on their knees and take a deep breath and pray and love one another more and understand that there are times in which we're going to be different. Okay, let me say this. We don't need anything new in the church. Amen. But stop being so afraid of something a little different. Something a little different ain't new. There's always been something a little different. Stop being so afraid of it. Love one another, brothers and sisters. We need love. Love.
Old Jerry Clown used to say that. We need L-O-V-E, love. And I believe, amen, old Brother Jerry, on that. We need love. Love, that's how we're to be known. That one made us these three things. Faith, hope, and charity. Grace and peace is charity, brothers and sisters. Let's love one another more. And stop being so reactionary. And so hard-headed and hard-hearted. And just be patient and loving with one another. If it comes to the point where something's going on, that after it's been labeled with, we have to follow biblical admonition and cut it off. If it comes to that point, then you can go to them with a good conscience. But brothers and sisters, so many of our people have been decimated through the years because they won't take heed to how old, how good, and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Sheep do not want to drink from turbulent water. Brothers and sisters, sheep don't want to worship in a turbulent place. Amen? Let us always be careful of that. He said, here, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment. Oh, brothers and sisters. Okay, now Aaron's standing there. The anointing oil is put upon his head. It runs down his beard, even down under the skirt. That means of necessity it would have had to run over what? The breastplate. In that breastplate, there were two brothers and sisters stones that represented the 12 united tribes of Israel. Israel had never seen days as good as they were when they were united in the days before the rupture with Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us strive the best way that we can to be united and to dwell together in unity. That oil would have run over, anointing that united 12 tribes of Israel, which I believe are representative of the Lord's people and the Lord's church. And brothers and sisters, oh, it reminds me over in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What does that oil represent in Exodus chapter 30? What does that oil represent? In Psalms 133. Go with me to another place, if you will, to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 4. All the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as he stood and he read. I've heard a lot of people say, you go to such and such church, they'll take the Bible from you, won't let you take the Bible in the stand. Well, I'm just about scrapping that Bible now. I tell you, I want to memorize Scripture. I try the best I can to memorize Scripture. But I want you to look at what it says here of our Lord Jesus Christ in the synagogue that day, verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, he put the words in Isaiah's mouth to write them down. He knew exactly what all those words were. And when he had opened the book, now certainly he didn't need to open that book, but thank God, we as preachers can see, Jesus opened that book, therefore I should be afraid to open my book, amen. He opened the book, he found the place where it was written, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What is he referring to? It says in that day when he went unto John the Baptist to be baptized, when he came up out of the water, it said the Holy Ghost descended upon him as a dove and lit upon him, my friend. And I heard that holy voice from heaven, behold my son, in whom I am well pleased. Brothers and sisters, from that day forward, Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry. He was anointed on that day to go forward and serve as our fifth high priest. Brothers and sisters, Matthew chapter 25. Go with me very quickly there. I have not got time. Y'all be surprised how quick I can shut up. Matthew chapter 25 tells us about conversion. That's what it says right here at the offset. We don't want to despise the small things. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto five wise virgins? No. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Okay? 10 virgins. Now, I'll just believe what it says, friend. I know old brother so-and-so with a beard down to here may have said something different in the past. Well, you know, old brother so-and-so is reading out the same Bible I am. And I can't preach old brother so-and-so. I got to preach what the Word says. And it says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. Okay? Now, it turns out that 5 of those were wise. Why? Because they were awaiting the bridegroom to come. Let me ask you something. All 10 were awaiting the bridegroom to come. Why do you reckon they were there? Because the bridegroom had chosen them. They wouldn't have been there for any other purpose. The bridegroom had chosen them. And they were there for a purpose. Okay, they didn't just put out a sign one day and said, sign up if you want to be so-and-so and what? No, that wouldn't go. The bridegroom chose his bride. Okay? And they were there for a purpose.
surprise you. Now, some of them were waving, and some of them had grown what? Pretty sorry. Pretty sorry. Can we grow pretty sorry? That boy can grow pretty sorry. Real quick, I've learned that and continue to learn it. There were five little wives. They had their lamps full of oil, trimmed, ready to light to welcome the bridegroom. There were five that were not. Now, some would say, Brother Joe, you're saying that oil is spirit. Therefore, those five didn't have the spirit. Therefore, they're not God's children. But notice what it says. Notice what it says. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Let me tell you something, brother. Do you believe somebody's ever had spiritual vision? The born again spirit of God? I tried to preach to you last night, Romans chapter 8, verse many of the led by the Spirit of God. They are the Son of God. He said, if you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. It shall be the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, if anybody's ever had spiritual joy, spiritual vision, spiritual expectation, then under necessity, it has to be born in the Spirit. Now, if you're born in the Spirit, then you be unborn in the Spirit? Poppycock. We know that's not so. So what does that tell me about these? It didn't say we never had any oil. It said our oil, our lamps had gone out. Now, I'm just a little old simple country boy, but even I can understand that. Okay, if I have your piggy bank, I have a piggy bank and it's empty. And I tell you it's gone out. What do you understand about that? That it had some money in it to begin with, right? These had oil at one time. They had been given the new birth. They had been given the capacity to do it. The problem is, the Jews in that day had become so secular, so carnal, so disobedient and lazy and sorry that the time came when Jesus, the final word, came and they refused to humble themselves and behold him as they should. The light came down on them. Judgment and blindness came down upon them, and I believe that's what's being referred to right here. Now, does that make all the ones referred to in the book of Romans chapter 11 going to hell? Absolutely not. I don't think Paul should be any more forward letting us know in Romans 11 that there are people there, and he's talking about Jews who didn't confess and didn't believe as they ought, but yet, even though they were enemies for the gospel's sake and the love for the Father's sake, that he has challenged them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Time and again. He said, have they stumbled that they should fall? How much further could you fall than hell? Anybody? Has anybody been any lower than hell? Can you imagine anywhere any lower than hell? He said, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. The people he's talking about, the conventional wisdom of the world would say, they've busted hell straight open. Okay, well, how much further can you fall than hell? Because he said, for their stumbling, there was a fall, but they had not fallen. In the way the world would think they'd fallen. He said, God forbid. Brothers and sisters, the Jews, I believe, to this day, are under a judicial blindness. And what oil, what spiritual joy and gladness and anticipation they could have has now been taken away from them. But I'll tell you one thing that can't be destroyed, and that's eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's probably people say that their eternal life is bound up in what they do. How they respond, how they act. I can tell you it's all bound up in the precious, perfect flesh of a sinless man and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our eternal life is bound up in, and I'll rest it there to the day I die. I'll rest it there to the day I die. Now, what is that oil representative of? That oil is representative of our spiritual joy and anticipation. I believe that. Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. That candle left to itself is going to burn. And it's going to be a bright light. But let me ask you a question that I've had to ask myself and continue to ask myself. How much of your oil are you pouring in the candlestick? How many of you have been sitting under the sound of the preaching of the gospel in belief of the Lord Jesus Christ? But yet you continue to feed on the corn kernels through the fence. And you won't come forward as your Lord commanded you to do, as he himself gave us an example to do, and be baptized into the Lord's church. Do you despise the Lord's bride? Through your actions, you're despising her. and more importantly, through your actions, you're despising Him. If you believe this to be the pillar and ground of the truth, my friend, He's given you oil. Now, brothers and sisters, hear ye, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Brothers and sisters, reach out for Him. Feel after Him, as was spoken of in the book of Acts chapter 17 on those of Mars Field. Do you feel after Him? Do you long for Him? Do you desire Him? Then just do what's right. Friends, that ain't hard. Do what's right. Jesus never commanded us to walk on our hands from here to Atlanta whistling Dixie and doing scissor kicks with our legs. That would be hard. But I can tell you what's easy. Is unloading your burden and confessing your Lord and going through the waters of baptism. You don't even have to do the work. He does. He does. If you're big and fat, He'll have a lot of work to do. Okay? I've baptized a big old stropping boy now. Did a little bit of work, getting them a little out of the water, but you know what? They all came up. You know why? Because we believe in the resurrection. That's another term. Okay? They came up. Make Him do a little work. Nothing has been commanded of you that's grievous. To follow the commandments of God, it's not grievous. It's a joy. Why are we going to sit there and grip the back of the pew? My wife did it 13 years. 13 long years. When we first got married, she's Roman Catholic, and I was hard shell Baptist. I was a sorry hard shell Baptist for that. I should have been excluded from the church a long time ago. But you know what? There came a day when the Lord showed me that I need to be in the church and not the strip joint. I need to be in the church and not a skinny on $5 beer night. Well, He moved in me, brothers and sisters. He gave me a conviction that I couldn't deny. But thank God, I was raised in a place where I knew where to go. I knew why I felt like I did. Brother Melvin Myers burnt himself out preaching my sorry tale all those years. And you'll never meant to be to me. But in his waning days, because of what the Lord has done by His might, by His power, and His Spirit, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, such relief cannot be had as when you come forward and confess that you're a sinner and that you've got a Savior. When it all fell in place and it all made sense that day, I went from being the most miserable man in the earth to the happiest man in the earth. Because I realized what it meant. It meant that my heart had been broken by His Spirit. And I was healed. And realizing that, it made me want to serve Him every day. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Do what the Lord has instructed for you to do. Those who have been baptized, how faithfully are we serving Him in the church? This is the candlestick, whether you like it or not. The deer stand is not the candlestick. That swivel chair on the bass boat ain't the candlestick. This is the candlestick. The Georgia Dome is not the candlestick. This is the candlestick. Okay? Okay? You Bulldog fans, Athens, and that stadium up there. Now that's not the candlestick. I don't want to set off a pet Bulldog war. God forbid, I'm an Ole Miss man anyway, so of course, y'all laughing at me because we've been pitiful the last few years. That's not a candlestick. Vaughn Hemingway Stadium's not a candlestick. Brother and sister, sitting at home in your old broken in leather armchair is not a candlestick. You ought to be on the candlestick. Pouring your oil into that entity that will never run dry, but I'll tell you, it'll burn a lot brighter when you do as you ought to do. Do like Jerusalem, Joshua, and do like Zerubbabel, and pour the oil in the candlestick. Stop being rebellious and hard-hearted and saying, my way is the right way, His way is the only right way, to be the way, the truth, and the life. Pour your oil in the candlestick. It'll burn brighter. And when it burns brighter, people in this community right here, they're going to be made to see it. They're going to be made to see it. You know what? We're not going to be big boys. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you what we can do. We can dwell in our little old common meeting houses, in our humble manners,
love him. When somebody needs something, we can go help him. We can do everything we can to teach them of the joys of Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you that doing that is the way the Bible has instructed us to do. That's all that we need. Churches grow. Churches thrive, even in the day of darkness. Let's not doubt it. Let's be repentant, humble, pour your oil in the candlestick, and don't wait another day. I thank you for your attention.